Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
The Bald-Faced Truth Foundation helps kids in art, music, education, and athletics. I've been doing it since 2009. You, the listeners, are the fuel for that. And as I mentioned yesterday, our big radio-a-thon is Friday, noon to 3 p.m. We also have an online auction portion that features VIP, once-in-a-lifetime, special access opportunities, including being on the sideline at an Oregon State football game, also being getting to throw the first pitch out at a Hillsboro Hops game, the University of Oregon women's basketball team, which, by the way, should probably just represent the United States in the next Olympic Games. They're that good. They have donated, Kelly Graves, their coach, has been kind enough to donate a VIP special access auction lot that is currently online. If you go to bftauction.com, and it's currently the high bid is $820. I think we can do better on that. And Kelly Graves is joining us now to kind of talk about that experience. How are you? By the way, thank you for donating that.
Oh, hey, no worries. Are you kidding me? What, you know, it's for, you know, good cause, obviously. And you want these kids active and, yeah, so it's cool, and I thank you for what you're doing. I hear about it all the time because I listen to you all the time, so anything we can do to help. But, John, it's a pretty cool package. I mean, it's four courtside seats, so literally you're on the court right across from me. So you, if you read lips, you can have some fun there too. But it's and then it's kind of a backstage pass. You know, you get there a little early, and one of my coaches escorts you back to the locker room, so you're with the team. Get a chance to meet all the team and then listen in on our pregame speech and hang out in the locker room. And then after the game, my coaching staff will give you a tour of Matthew Knight Arena and you get a chance to maybe talk to a couple of the players and, you know, get you a signed little signed poster as a commemorative, you know, keepsake for the evening. But it's a pretty cool deal. And everybody that's done it before has had a great time.
It's really awesome. And, you know, for people who haven't heard you give a chalk talk, what are we talking about? What does a chalk talk entail?
Well, you know, it's fun. No, it's literally just the coaching staff and the team. So, it's one of our just our pregame speech before the game. But, you know, I'm not a big rah-rah guy, John. I'm more, you know, I put on the board, this is what we need to do. These are the three keys to success. And, you know, and that's about it. Mark Campbell is kind of the guy that pumps him up a little bit when he talks. I usually cover the offense. He covers the defense. And then I wrap it up at the end. You know, if your guests or our guests that night are pretty cool, maybe I'll have them say a word to the team.
I love that.
They got 20 seconds to do it, all right? they don't need a full-on speech. But I've always kind of been that way. I'm not a win one for the Gipper kind of coach because we meet with them at about the 32 minute mark. And I'm done with them at the 22 minute mark before the game. I mean, whatever motivational tactic I have is going to wear off long before game time. So, you know, we try to get kids that are motivated from within game in and game out.
You guys recently had a huge win over the Dream Team, Team USA. They come to Eugene, and you do what only Pat Summitt in Tennessee had done to that program. You beat them. You were mic'd up, and you said to your team, we can score with these guys. How did you know that?
Because we're pretty good offensively. You know, we have players that can score. It's what we do. And, you know, I as great as those players were, You know, you can get Sylvia Fowles away from the basket, you know, to have to guard pick and roll. You can, you know, Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi are old vets, you know, Hall of Famers, but older vets. And I just felt like, you know, we could chase them off screens and do those kind of things and get good looks. And you also do it to kind of give your team confidence. You know, I truly felt it, but at the same time, I think you say things like that, to, you know, so that they believe it. And it ended up being true at the end of the day.
That feeling as the game is ongoing, and, you know, obviously late in that game, you guys took control, I felt, down the stretch. But was there a turning point in the game where you kind of looked around and went, we're going to beat these guys?
Well, I don't know if I ever actually felt that, but I felt at the start of the fourth quarter when we kind of made a little run that, you know, we can beat these guys. Because I knew that the closer it stayed and the longer the game went on, the pressure was going to be on them, not on us. I mean, I never went into the game thinking, hey, yeah, we're going to beat these guys. If we play really well, we could. But, you know, let's face facts. You said it yourself. It's been since 1999, and I think they're like 43-1 and now 43-2 against college teams. So, but then when we built a 10-point lead in that last quarter, I felt that we were playing well enough and with enough poise that we were going to hold on. I thought at that point we had them, but I'll tell you, never count out great champions like Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, Sylvia Fowles. I think between them, they've won like 18 gold medals between that group. So it was a pretty special night, John, pretty memorable. I think our fans that were there and certainly our team and coaching staff, I think that's something that we'll remember really for the rest of our lives.
There'd be a lot of programs that got pinned with, you know, hey, you're number one, you're the top ranked team, that might struggle with that. How do you address that with your team, or do you just have confidence that Sabrina and the leadership on this team is going to come in and take care of business, even though they have a 1 or a 2 or a 5 or a 20 next to the team name?
Yeah, I don't think it matters. I mean, we obviously know, and they're reminded of it about each and every day when they get online or on social media or whatever. But, you know, it's not something that we dwell on. It you know, we don't talk about it. This team has been pretty high profile for a couple of years. I mean, we were picked 3rd in the preseason last year and seemed to play quite well, even with that pressure. And, you know, it comes from our leadership. Sabrina, my goodness, has there been a more exposed player in terms of national exposure in our game in the last 20 years? I would say no. She's used to it. It fuels her. Ruthie Hebert is as happy-go-lucky and humble a superstar as you're ever going to meet. You know, that doesn't faze her. And then Satu, you know, she's, I think lives for that kind of glamour and attention, and not in a negative way, but, I mean, she's just, she's on a different level as a human being, man. That gal's so cool, and is tearing it up. She had 23 today over in the Germany beat North Macedonia today by a bunch. So, no, I think they're okay. And you know me, and you know my staff. You've been around us at important times. We don't really take ourselves too seriously. We're a pretty loose bunch and have a lot of fun.
Kelly Graves, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach, is our guest. You had a great crowd for that game against the Dream Team. You've drawn great crowds when you go on the road and when you're home. What does that mean to you when you're in Matthew Knight Arena and you look around and you're like, people are here to see us play?
Oh, I think it's cool. And I know the team is fueled by it. They love it. And, you know, they're not just in the stands. They're engaged. There were a couple of times during that USA game, John, that sound had feel. I mean, it went up and down my spine, you know, and our kids, that helps. There's no question about it. And I think just the whole atmosphere around, you know, our games has increased so much that it's kind of like an event now. It's not just a game. It's kind of an event. And I love it. I love it. They deserve it. They're fun to watch, and they play hard, and they play well together, and they're very passionate about the game.
When you get into Pac-12 play, it'll be a regular thing where you'll get, you know, you get number 3 Stanford, or you get number 7 Oregon State, and back-to-back games in a week span. You're going to get those tests. You get UCLA. But how do you sort of pace the season right now when, you know, look, no disrespect to Utah State or Northeastern or Texas Southern, but these are teams that you know, you guys could roll the ball out, not play your best game, and win. So how do you address that and pace your team as a coach?
Well, I think I have a lot of weaknesses, but one of my strengths is I've always coached for 40 minutes. I'm not a garbage time guy, you know, just kind of let people, I hold them accountable for 40 minutes. I do it every day in practice as well, and I think that helps in games like this. We always tell our team, you know, we play against ourselves, our opponents, our potential. So we want to play as good as we possibly can against every opponent. I don't care. I never look at the score. I couldn't care less what the score is. And many times I don't even know what it is in games like that where you're blowing somebody out. So I think, and again, it comes from our leadership. You know, Sabrina's never going to take a game off or a playoff. That's just not how she's driven. Same with Ruthie, same with Satu and our other players. That's why they're here, and that's why we are who we are. So, but, yeah, you have to manage, I think, you know, what is the NBA load management deal?
Yeah.
I don't believe in that stuff. I mean, you want to play everybody. As much as you can, because it is a long season. But at the same time, I get what they're doing. But come on, you guys, really? I have issues with that.
Yeah, Michael Jordan played 82. I mean, he said, hey, you're paid to play 82.
Yeah, do they prorate the, you know, the salary if you take games off?
I'd be curious to know what that would do to that argument. You know, it'd be like, okay, we're good. We'll play them all.
Yeah, and I get it. 82 games, it is a long, long schedule. But I think you can load manage during practices and shoot-arounds. I mean, I'm not pushing, you know, our team, you know, an hour and a half the day before a game. You know, we might go live for 5 minutes is all. I loved to have them sweat and go five-on-five and go hard at least for 5 or 10 minutes every day, even if it's the day before a game. But other than that, you're just shooting and you're working on some skills and walking through what the other team is doing and things that you want to do. So, you know, I think that's how you can load manage, not during the game.
Yeah.
That's just me, big guy. I don't know. I'll probably hear from some people on that.
No, you won't, because what are they going to say? Like, I get it. Like, yeah, you can be better if you're only playing 60 instead of 82. That makes sense to me. But, you know, what if we all did that?
Yeah, right? You can't be taken off, you know, every Wednesday or 2 days a week.
I'll be here Tuesday through Thursday, guys. I'd be great. My energy would be terrific, you know, but that's not the job. I love that you're a fan, too, because I can hear it, like, you watch games. Do you watch more college, or do you like watching NBA basketball?
You know, I'm an NBA guy. I love college basketball. I'll watch a good game. I'm not going to watch Jacksonville State versus, you know, Southern Alabama or something, but I'm going to, you know, I love the NBA. I get the league pass every year. My boys love it. I think you and I have talked about that before. We really enjoy that. I like watching women's basketball. You know, so if there's games on in the evening, not much to my wife's chagrin, I'm going to be sitting in front of the TV for, you know, at least part of it.
They're talking about a women's Final Four possibly in our state 2025. That bid is underway. You've been to a Final Four. You've seen major college basketball. What would that be to have that kind of event in our state?
Amazing. And I applaud you for having Jim Etzel on yesterday. I know Jim, and you talked about his dad, and, you know, his dad hired me. He was the first guy.
Wow.
He hired me for my first Division I job back at the University of Portland when he was AD there. So I know his family. I've known Jim for a while, and that we're in good hands. I think they're going to do everything they can to secure that here. And I think, you know, the community needs to do whatever they can to make it happen. Because I think Portland, as we saw in the regional last year, I think would be a great site for it. And, you know, look at the Blazers' success with, you know, with their fan support over the years. It's one thing to have people in the stands. It's another to have passionate fans, and that's what Portland has, and that's what I love about it. So, yeah, I'll do whatever I can to help, and I hope it happens here. I do. I really hope it happens.
I think it is going to happen. It's one of those things where I just felt like that regional was such a statement. You guys participated in it, 11,500 there at the regional. I mean, that was a big deal. And we got to get this event on the West Coast. Enough with this Tampa stuff. I'm just tired of going to Tampa.
I'm with you. You know, there's that East Coast thing. Well, let's bring it out west. It hasn't been out west since Denver. And I don't know even know how long ago that was. I mean, it's been more than a decade at least. I remember going to it as a coach, but
It
belongs here.
You do listen to the show. Edsel's on yesterday. Nobody told you that. You knew that.
Well, yeah, of course. What do you think?
I don't know.
I'm not one of those guys, John. I'm a sports fan, man. I told you, you could have me on during any time of year. I can talk sports. I got opinions.
I'm
bald, too.
What do you think of Monday Night Football? The broadcast crew's driving me crazy. We need better broadcasters on Monday night.
I heard you talking about that. I'm a Monday Night Football fan, so Cosell and Drysdale and Gifford. I mean, that to me is, that's religion.
Yeah,
it's gone downhill to me. For whatever reason, the games haven't been very compelling this year either. But yeah, is it Booger that does it?
Yeah,
I don't even know who else is on it, but no, it's just lost its luster.
Yep.
Plus, I'm a little busier right now.
I know you are.
All right. When you're a kid, it means a lot more, doesn't it?
Yep, it does. And I can remember halftime being a big deal. I didn't want to miss the highlights with Howard Cosell at halftime. I mean, it was
Oh my God, right?
Yep.
Hey, how's this for a memory? So I used to have to, Monday nights were the night we took out our garbage when I was a kid. That was one of my duties one of my chores, so to speak. As soon as the first half ended, I sprinted out to take it all the way out to the street. And it was like a quarter mile, or not a quarter mile, but 100 yards to take to the street, because we had a big yard. So I could sprint back and get there by the highlight show, the Cosell deal.
Yep.
That's a childhood memory, man. That was every Monday night.
It was a highlight of my week on that Monday night. Who takes the trash out now at the Graves house?
Me. I mean, come on, man.
Same for me. Same for me. I still do it. I run out there. It takes me a little longer, but I run back.
Yes. Yeah, thank God I'm in town now. You know, I'm not a country guy, so it's only a few feet. But still, it's a pain in the butt, isn't it?
Yep. All right, on Saturday, Oregon is home against Texas Southern. Go see Sabrina Ionescu, Kelly Graves, and that great team. Saturday, 2 o'clock, Matthew Knight Arena. Coach, thank you for donating the auction item. It closes tomorrow at 3 p.m., but I know a lot of our listeners are checking it out right now.
Well, hey, they should bid on it and bid generously. I guarantee you we'll make it worth their while. They'll have a great time here. I'll make darn sure of that.
Well, I can tell you right now, the current bid is $1,000 just from you coming on the show and pumping it up.
All right. Well, let's go. Let's keep that going up.
All right. Kelly Graves, there he is, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. Go to bftauction.com. It'll link you right to the auction items. There's 19 different auction items you can check out, all these VIP experiences, once-in-a-lifetime things. And then tomorrow on the show from noon to 3, we're going to just be raising money, doing giveaways, offering incentives. We've got several donors who have offered matches. So if you just make a tax-deductible donation tomorrow, we can really maximize that noon to 3 p.m. tomorrow. All right, you got the bald-faced truth statewide. Michael Rappaport, actor, comedian, coming up top of the hour. Good stuff from Kelly Graves, the Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. If you're interested in any of those auction items, they're online now. You can help kids in art, music, education, and athletics. The BFT Foundation does that and has been doing that for 10 years. And you are BFT Foundation, if you didn't know about it. That's what you are, literally. But if you want to get online, you can. BFTauction.com to get involved with that. All right, Michael Rappaport, actor and comedian, is coming up top of the hour. I'm excited to have him in studio. That'll be a good interview. We'll talk to Ken Go later in the show. But that brings us to our big splash, the one thing in sports you need to know today.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
But the big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips haircuts app and check in.
A development in the James Wiseman case. Memphis declared him ineligible and will withhold the freshman from games after he withdrew his lawsuit against the NCAA today. The school announced also that it will reapply for his reinstatement. They're moving this process forward. Basically, it looks to me like the NCAA is aware that this is a unique case and is telling Memphis, look, drop the lawsuit, and if you drop the lawsuit, we'll move forward and maybe get the kid reinstated. Now, he's got lawyers, and it's become clear that this lawsuit is in the way, but Memphis, by the way, who would like very much for this kid to play and had initially declared him eligible, has now shifted its stance and is saying, okay, he's ineligible, but now we're going to apply for his reinstatement. The school acknowledged last week that Penny Hardaway, before he became Memphis's coach, provided $11,500 in moving expenses for Wiseman, helped his family move from Nashville to Memphis. It's kind of pricey, $11,500 to move Nashville to Memphis. At the time, Hardaway was his AAU coach, then would become his high school coach. This is a unique case. I think the NCAA has bigger problems. I think the NCAA would love for this to go away. And by the way, he's got a ton of upside and potential, and the NBA scouts are all salivating over him. He's a lottery pick, okay? He's a lottery pick. He's just visiting campus in Memphis. But the bottom line is, he looked a little lost in Tuesday night's game right here in Portland against the Oregon Ducks. He got outplayed by a guy that's about 6'7", got himself in foul trouble, and looked a little lost. I thought it wasn't like the best start for a young player. And we'll see how he develops, though. We'll see how he develops. Michael Rappaport, comedian and actor, is coming in studio. He's visiting Portland. We'll find out why coming up. Plus, later in the show, we'll talk Alberto Salazar.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.